Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
2016, I became very worried because of the political conditions of the country and climate change and other factors, that a lot of the places I most wanted my children to see in this country wouldn't be there, or would be not in the same condition by the time they got older. And so the book is about the last 8 years from 2016 to 2024 of traveling in every direction to see as much as we could. And that's a real advantage of living in Missouri, is that when you go by car and you go in every way, you really see, the bulk of the country.
Yeah, I had to laugh at one point because while you're on one of your trips, you said, and we did not fly. We're not those kind of people.
Yeah. No, we're the people that they're looking down on from the sky. So.
Mark Twain has kind of followed you as this thread from where you were growing up at to living in Missouri, just, an hour or two south of Hannibal.
Yeah, it's a strange thing. I mean, it certainly wasn't planned, but I grew up in Meriden, Connecticut, which is in this like post-industrial corridor between Hartford and New Haven, which meant that as a kid, I got to visit the Mark Twain House in Hartford. And he was a big inspiration for me, not just as a writer, but in the way he lived his life, his outspoken nature, his travel, his love for his family. That was kind of like the sweetness behind the really sharp, incisive facade. And then, of course, he grew up here. He grew up in Missouri. He's very influenced by Missouri throughout all of his works. Even after he left and moved to Connecticut, he traveled all over the country. And it was really when I was reading his diaries, which he insisted be published over a century after his death, because he didn't want anyone in his lifetime to ever witness his most personal thoughts. And I was reading those, and there's a real vulnerability there and a lot of anguish there about the direction the country is going, the direction his own life and career are going. And I found it very relatable. But yeah, it's impossible to live in Missouri without constantly encountering Mark Twain. I mean, especially when you're in the Hannibal region, where his face is just slapped on anything you can sell. But, generally speaking, I think anything with the Mississippi River.
Would he appreciate Hannibal? Would he find his face on everything amusing, or would he be horrified by it? I'm not really sure.
I think a mix of both, but mostly amused. I think he'd see it as very American, very commercial, and very like on his luck as somebody who just was terrible, with finances, who struggled with bankruptcy on multiple occasions, despite his success, that he is this incredible commodity. And I think he was always aware of that nature of his own career. He talked about having to be born in Missouri, because Missouri needed some new tourist destinations as a new state. So I think you would have appreciated the irony of it.
I'm sure that you have probably heard a lot since you first began writing your books on authoritarianism and the Trump administration, that you hate America, and that people ask you often, are you going to leave? Are you going to leave the country? And you're like, no.
No, I'm definitely not leaving. I actually haven't heard that much that I hate America. I sometimes get accused of hating the American government, which isn't entirely wrong. So I think sometimes people don't make a distinction between the two, that you can be very deeply frustrated with your state legislature, with your federal government, but love your country, love the people, love the places, want it to do well, want to preserve it. And in terms of leaving, yes, I've fallen under threat because most of my books books deal with institutional corruption or organized crime or topics like that. That obviously leads to people being angry with me, threatening me. But I am not going anywhere. I remember, you know, in 2016, when a lot of the rhetoric surrounding the election had gotten very violent, I used to cross the river and visit the grave of Elijah Lovejoy, you know, who worked as an abolitionist and as a journalist here in St. Louis before being killed by a white mob in Alton, Illinois. But before that, you know, he was also asked whether he was going to leave. And he said, you know, I cannot abandon my post, because to him, that meant abandoning his principles. It meant abandoning who he was as a human being and the purpose of writing, the purpose of journalism. And so obviously, I hope I don't meet that fate. But I think that morally, that's the correct position to take.
You don't hide any of the ugly parts of the United States from your kids, which I think is great, because I'm kind of the same way with my kids. I've always been very honest with them. I don't feel like I ever really had to, I never really sugarcoat things with them. And you bring them to these places where, you know, some bad things have happened.
They're used to it. I mean, honestly, you know, these are St. Louis kids. Like, I didn't grow up here, but both of my children were born here and grew up here. And they've witnessed a lot of chaos and a lot of hard times. And they've also witnessed a lot of beauty. And especially, I think, they've seen how people find beauty in the wreckage. You know, they've seen, I mean, sometimes quite literally, like in places like Lake City Museum, but they've seen creative ways in which people manage to make lives for themselves in the struggle, you know, especially after the 2008 recession decimated so many places so hard. And so, yeah, you know, there's a difference, I think, between places that are just kind of run down and abandoned, but still have a certain kind of beauty, and places where just actual crimes happened or actual tragedies occurred. You know, for example, we took them to the Oklahoma City Memorial bombing site. You know, I would certainly put that in a different category than the kind of run down but interesting places we'd see along the lines of, you know, Route 66, as we would take those routes west.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I just recently read, for the first time, Hiding in Plain Sight. I hadn't read it when it came out, because being in the news business, sometimes I just can't read nonfiction. I need to escape. But I read it, and it was a fascinating book. And I thought, I kept thinking, what is it like to be Sarah Kendzior and to write this book, write these books where you have all of this fleshed out, you've done your research, you've got all of it mapped out, and yet it's still not resonating with a large number of people. I mean, you put all this time into the long history of Donald Trump's relationship with Russia and the Russians and influence. And obviously, you know, it didn't make a dent for a lot of people. What is that?
It didn't make a dent for our officials, or to the extent that it made a dent. The dent was to try to censor me, threaten me, silence me. It was a national bestseller. Like, it made every national bestseller list. And, you know, I loved the feeling of going into Barnes and Noble and seeing that it was one of those books just behind the counter, because they had so many copies of it that, you know, they filled up the whole space. And that was one bright spot in the dismal year of 2020. So in terms of its you know, utility or its range, like it actually is sold well. In terms of people doing something with all of the crimes that I uncovered, which is really not my job to uncover, you know, that's why we're supposed to have agencies like the FBI or Congress or what have you. Unfortunately, a lot of actors from those agencies are implicated in the crimes, as I lay out in the book. That was very depressing. And you kind of see the effects now where Trump is in his second term, and it's as if the country has amnesia regarding everything that happened in his first term, you know, because a lot of the things he's doing are just the same things, only, you know, in a more extreme way. And I felt that way in his first term, that people had forgotten all of the criminality of his life, you know, the bankruptcies, the illicit deals, the mafia ties, which is what I lay out in Hiding in Plain Sight, because I wrote that book in 2019. And so, yeah, it's frustrating. You know, the book in between Hiding in Plain Sight and The Last American Road Trip is called They Knew, because everybody knew this stuff. Like, I mostly used public domain, you know, sources. I used quotes from Trump himself. All the information was out there. I was just, you know, putting it into a coherent narrative. And so that means that the officials tasked with preventing corruption, with enforcing accountability, are not doing their job. And they're still not doing their job. So I'm very, I'm frustrated with them far more than I'm frustrated with any ordinary American voter.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.